Hello, Playmates. Hi, welcome to the Happy Playing Podcast with me, Claire Russell, founder of Play Hooray. We are on episode 20. My goodness, I don't know how that's happened. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about messy play. Yeah, I know. Ugh, messy play. We all have the same reaction, so please don't worry. Even an earlier specialist, whenever I think of messy play, I just think, ugh, messy play. You've got to be in the mood, haven't you? Well, I have noticed just from the messages that I'm receiving from parents and carers that because of the situation that we are in with lockdown, that lots of us are unable to go to baby classes and those lovely sensory and messy classes where we normally would get our children's dose of messy play. Because they're not happening at the moment, lots of you are wanting to try a little bit more at home, wondering where to start, how to go about it, and also what to do if your child's not interested in messy play. So I'm going to try and cover that in an episode today for you. So yes, messy play, it's not for everybody, not for the faint-hearted, but there is a way that you can start and make it manageable. That's the key, is making it manageable. Messy play does not need to be jelly up the walls and on the ceiling. There are other ways that you can go about it, and you can also ease yourself in gently. So why do children engage in messy play? Well, messy play or sensory play is actually really effective because it is helping our children to develop their senses. As we know, young children and babies explore the world using their senses, and one of their strongest sense is taste, isn't it? They put everything in their mouth. One, yes, it might be because of their gums and teething, but also all the nerve endings and sensations in the mouth. They do explore a lot of things with their mouth, and that can last for many years. And it's absolutely okay for children to do that. But also, when children engage in messy play and sensory play, like I said, they are alerting all the senses, and it's all about making connections in their brains. So it's strengthening those connections. They're actually learning a lot from it. And it's those connections in the brain, by having them in place, then when they start school and start their learning, it actually helps learning to be much more effective. So there's lots and lots of research into this. I'm not a specialist in this. You can read reports and also research and things into the benefits of messy play. But take my word for it, it's really great for children to engage in. And it doesn't need to be done on a daily basis. It can be done as and when suits you at home. But like I said, because of lockdown, I think a lot of us in the past would have probably relied on some sort of messy play class to go to. I certainly did as a parent, because there are some days, let's be honest, that you just don't face it. You've got enough on your plate. You're already exhausted. You've got enough toys and everything else around the house without then adding the jelly or the gloop or whatever into the mix. And let's be honest, sometimes the children can play with it for just a short amount of time, let's say 5 minutes, but you're left with a 20-minute tidy-up, yeah? I know you're nodding your head and agreeing with me. So we've all been there. So yes, as a parent as well, I would rely on those messy play classes for my child getting a good dose of messy play every so often. And they are often very reasonably priced. Lots of children's centres offer them. And you're talking a couple of pounds to be able to go through an hour. You normally get a cup of tea and a biscuit as well, which is a bonus, isn't it? So I do highly recommend those. And when they're back up and running, they can be a really good place, not only for socializing, but for your child accessing some sort of messy play. And they often have quite a lot of different types of play out, so they're really they're having a wealth of experience when you go. But if you are like me, noticing that your child is not able to access those classes, you might want to start a little bit at home. So first of all, it's about making it manageable. So messy play, I would normally do it in an empty bath or shower tray. And the bonus of that is that once, normally do it with the child in their nappy, if they're still in nappies, or stripped down to underwear or clothes that you don't mind being, not necessarily ruined, but going to get dirty. Naked is normally a lot easier. I would normally have them in an empty bath or shower tray where they can do it. If it's getting slippy, you can always buy those rubber mats with the grips. That can always be handy. So they've got something to sit on because you don't want it too slippy for them, particularly at the age where they're trying to sit and stand and maybe move around a little bit more. So I would use those, and the bonus is, of course, then once you're done, once you're finished, it makes the tidy up a lot easier. Turn on the shower, shower the kids down, shower the bath tray down, and you're all done, and you can have a good old cuddle in a towel afterwards. And if not, you can always use, you may have seen on my Instagram, I use something called a tuff tray or a tuff spot, the big black trays. They are amazing. If you can, if the weather is warm enough, to do it outdoors is always easiest, just makes it hosing it down much easier. Those tuff trays can be tricky if you've got them set up indoors. To try and then get them out the back door can sometimes be really hard if it's full of messy stuff. So just to bear that in mind. So if you can do it outdoors, it does make life easier. And then you may also want some sort of plastic sheeting down or just something that's going to protect your floors if you don't have tiled or wooden floors. You know, you've got to look after those carpets because we all know that the trays are great, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's all going to be contained. So there's bound to be some sort of spillage. So, just to bear that in mind and then having cleaning resources to hand. So like I said, there's lots of benefits to it and it's about making it manageable. And there are lots of ways that you can start your messy play. So it doesn't, like I said, messy play doesn't have to start, you don't have to go all guns blazing with the corn flour and water, which is gloop. It's a really great texture, but yes, it is messy. Or the jelly and things like that. You can actually start with much drier materials, things like rice and lentils and cereal, what I call the pantry leftovers. You know those boxes of the dregs of cereal or the lentils that you've had in for you? You know, all that sort of stuff that's just probably never going to get reused. Why not use it for your play? You can always bag it up and reuse it again so you're not wasting it, which is what I do. I've got bags of pasta that get used time and time again and they can last for years and you can play and explore with them. If you have a little one that's tasting their play, it's always worth starting with food-based items like those pantry leftovers that I'm talking about because they're just really effective. And also, don't forget the power of water. Water is a really lovely one to start off with. It can actually have a lot of calming effects on children, and water play can be really, really lovely. And you can jazz it up by maybe having some sparkling water, or you could add some herbs and smellies to the water, or perhaps a little bit of food colour in. And then still, if they taste it, it's okay. But it just makes it a little bit special by having a bit of colour in. So yeah, you can start off in really easy ways with just using household items and then maybe adding some sort of scoops or tools, whatever, but just letting them use their hands and bodies and getting involved in it. I like to have the scoops and pots and pans to hand, but I always like to let them start by experimenting with their bodies because it's those senses that we want them to explore, and sometimes the tools can get in the way and they spend more time trying to master the tools than actually exploring the material. So if you're starting with a young one, just let them explore it with their hands and their feet and their mouths and things. It can be a really nice one. So I then want to move on to if your child doesn't like messy play and doesn't like getting messy. It's a question that I do actually get asked quite a lot. Now, first of all, before I go on, just to make you aware that there are some children who find certain sensations it doesn't sit comfortably with them. There are some disorders related to this, but some children just don't like certain sensations. And I had a little girl in my class many years ago who touching the sand would actually make her vomit. So you can get children that do... There is medical reason why they don't like these sensations, and it could be the touch or the taste or the smell or whatever. So just to be aware of that. So don't, if your child is looking like that, perhaps talk to your health visitor or your doctor and see if they can help you get to the bottom of that. But yeah, just that we don't want to add pressure to a child that's showing signs of being really uncomfortable with sensory play. However, if you're just noticing that your child's just not bothered, just not wanting, maybe pokes it and then walks off and just not interested, but you're wanting to try and do a little bit more with them, maybe they don't like getting messy. My first question, whenever a parent talks to me about this, is think about your meal times. When your child is eating at meal times, are you quick to jump in and wipe their mouth and their hands? I wonder. Might be something just to reflect on. Just have a little think. How do you behave when they're having their meal times? Because if you are quick to wipe down the tray and wipe their mouths and their hands every few minutes, just think about the messages and the signals that you're sending to your child. Is that you don't want them to be messy, but then here you are presenting a play that is for them to get messy. It's quite confusing, isn't it? So that's maybe just one thing to think about. You know, maybe save the cleaning your child from their meals just till the end rather than doing it midway. And it just allows them to explore getting messy and to feel that it's okay and to be comfortable with that. So yeah, and don't forget that meal times are also a part of sensory play as well. You know, think of all the different textures when they're handling foods. So if they are enjoying drawing in the yogurt that's splattered on their high tray, then just think of it as sensory play and just think of it as the mark making and exploring in that sort of way. So just meal times. Have a little think. I wonder if your behaviour, is it confusing them? I don't know. It might not be. It's just something to consider. You might not have noticed yourself doing it. Okay, and then what I always say to parents that are wanting to encourage their child to feel comfortable getting messy is to start with something like water. Water's lovely, it's nice and clean, and don't necessarily feel like they're getting messy. And just by starting with a little bit of water in a tray can be really nice, because then you can build it up. So then you can start to add things to the water that might make it a little bit messy. So you can maybe add in some rice into the water or some pasta shapes. Yes, they might go soggy and awful, but that's okay. So you could actually start to add up things into their water tray and see how they handle that. If they're still not sure, maybe have some bits and pieces like pasta, like lentils, those horrible cereal, because that will go pretty gross in the water. Have them maybe in little bowls at the side. Have the water tray and present it to your child, and then let them be in control. Let them add them to the water. It's a bit of a control. Like I said, it's giving them a bit of control over the situation, but also just might build up their confidence as well. And of course, as they're doing this, lots of praise. I've noticed that you're happy to touch it when it's slippery. Oh, let's play. And, you know, use all that vocab just to show them and reassure them that it's okay. And then, yes, I would also have, so like I said, having the water, having things to then add on and build to it, putting things into the water, whether it is different sensations, you know, sponges change texture when they get wet, have lots of different items that you can try in water just to get used to those different textures and feelings. And then if you are going to try some messy play, maybe have it like the watered down gloop or the colour water or something like that, so that you're not going straight in for the custard that might be a bit too much for them. So it's just about building up steadily over time. And then I would always have cleaning materials to hand, maybe a tea towel, or wipes or something like that, so that whenever they're feeling uncomfortable, they know that they can clean their hands straight away and that they've got access to that. And you just leave it next to them, let them know it's there, and whenever they've just had enough, they can turn to the side, clean their hands. They might then go back in, but it's just quite reassuring for them to have something and know that as soon as they get uncomfortable, as soon as they're unhappy, they're able to dry their hands, and you praise them and say that they've done really well. Now, at this point, normally if we weren't in lockdown, I would also say about the benefits of taking them to messy play classes. Even if your child's not into messy play, it is really worthwhile going to those classes, because your child is able to sit back and observe and actually see other children getting messy and see that actually it's okay, it's all right to be messy. And there's always those children at the class that are head to toe, absolutely covered. Mine was always one of those. And then those child that sit at the side and would rather watch, or maybe just dip a finger in or dip a toe in, and that's fine. And it's given them lots of praise. It's not putting pressure on them to join in, but just let them watch. And don't be embarrassed if you are that parent sat at the side just watching. You are doing it for the benefit of your child, and I'm sure over time they will begin to feel a little bit more confident at exploring maybe some of the messy play. So I hope that helps. That's just a bit of a brief chat about good old messy play. We do actually have some, I forgot about these, on our website, on the Play Hooray website, we do actually have some messy play recipe cards that Mason and I, they're our favourites, that we have been doing for many years now, as both as a teacher and as a parent. And they are downloadable. So you can download them, have them on your phone. And they're like little recipe cards of different messy play activities you can do with your little ones, starting from really basic, getting to the mud paint and all that sort of stuff. Well, I hope you found that useful. I hope that's helpful. And like I said, yeah, hopefully very soon, as things start to feel like they're getting back to normal life, we will be having those baby classes returning and we'll all be able to return to messy play and keep the messy play at the classes and save our beautiful homes. But as the weather's getting better, perhaps you might like to have a little go, have a little try in the garden, in the bath, whatever you want, just whatever you're comfortable with and whatever your child's comfortable with. Don't add too much pressure and always lots of praise. Anyway, thank you very much for joining me today. I'm sure episode 21 will be coming very soon. I will let you know. And as always, happy playing.